Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
All right, if you're ready for it, go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Colossians chapter 3. We're kind of celebrating at the same time, we're motivating for what's next. And we build faith from the past to help us build into and create what's coming. And so the Lord's given me a new series that I believe will help us put action into our destiny. You know, something I've learned over the last few years about the prophetic. When God begins to speak over our lives, God begins to speak to you, there's a God part to that, and there's an us part to that. And he's letting us know what he's doing and what he's wanting to do, but he's inviting us in as partners. Do you understand that? Like, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He doesn't do it for us. He helps us create that word that God has spoken over our lives. And when we say prophetic, basically it means God's still speaking. Everything he speaks to you is going to be confirmed through his word. If it's not in his word, leave it alone. Amen? But he is still a speaking God. Our God is a talker, which is why he's known as the Word. Amen? He's always going to be the Word because he's got a lot to say. He brought you into the kingdom, I love this phrase, for such a time as this. And God is stirring and doing something, and it's not just about you. There's this concept the Lord brought us back to a few years ago, talking about the dream within a dream. And basically, the dream that God has put in your heart is connected to the overall dream that God has for this generation. Do you understand that? You fulfilling the dream that God's been speaking to you about, it's not just about you. Come on now. You think it's about your life, and really it's connected into the tapestry of everything that God is doing in this time and season. You could have been born 1,000 years ago. You could have been born 200 years from now. But God saw fit for you to come here for such a time as this. And the unctions and the dreams and the goals that are emerging in you right now by the Spirit, it's for you, but it's also connected to the bigger picture that God is doing in this world. Isn't that awesome? I also want to challenge you to embrace the season of life that you're in. It doesn't matter if you're young or you're older. God has you exactly where he wants you if you'll say yes and partner with the Lord. Please do not wish you were younger. Do you understand what I'm saying? Believe God that the wisdom of God knows enough to know you're exactly where you're supposed to be. Amen. And don't wish you were older. Believe God that the wisdom of God knows exactly where you're supposed to be. And so in this series, it's called DTW, which stands for Do the Work. Do the Work. Like I said, there's a God side of the work of God in our generation and in our church, but then there's an us side. God will be faithful to his side. The variable is will we be faithful to our side of the work. Even in crossing over, like Pastor Brock was saying, I was thinking about the Jordan River and when the Israelites crossed over from the wilderness and the promise. Do you understand? The promise and the prophetic word of God was that land belongs to you, but they had work to do to cross over themselves. God did not magically pick them up and place them in a promised land. Are you hearing what I'm saying right now? They had steps to take. They had actions to follow. They had a work to do to actually possess the promise that God has put in their life. That's what DTW stands for. It's the our part. God's done a finished work. God's done his part. The variable is on our side. Now, the word work is not a popular word in this generation. If you would look around, you could see that everybody wants the benefit of the work, but no one necessarily likes to get excited about the work. Not this house. This is the body of Christ. You've been taught well. We love to work. Can I hear an amen on that? And sometimes we even have to pick up the slack of the other half of the generation, but we're going to work. And we're going to teach them that work is not a dirty word. It's a four-letter word, but it's not a bad one. Come on now. Come on now. They act like it's a bad one. You know, they're comfortable with the other ones, and they run from the word work. But work is a blessing, and work creates. Work is part of how God brings out of us what he puts inside of us. You know, work was actually given to Adam and Eve before the fall. Work was not a curse because of sin, though some people think it is. Oh, it's a curse of the fall. No, it's not. God told Adam that you will work the garden, and that was before the fall. Now, after the fall, the work became full of anxiety, became full of stress and pressure, sweat, because they were doing it in their own strength rather than having the assistance of God. Are you understanding this? But before the fall, they were doing the work with God. And guess what? Jesus has redeemed us from the curse. And so the work that we do is not that old kind of work full of stress, anxiety, doing it in our own strength and sweat. We do it through the strength, wisdom, and help of the Holy Spirit, but we still have to do our part and do the work, DTW. Can you say that after me? I'm going to say DTW. Say DTW. DTW. Do the work. And we love it. Amen. Well, I wasn't assuming you were going to say that part, but I'm glad you did. Colossians chapter 3. Have you found it yet? This is the very first verse, verse 23. That I learned as a young boy in church. In my little Sunday school class at the Lighthouse Assembly of God in Southern California, Riverside, where we ate vanilla wafers and orange drink every week. It was an orange drink. It wasn't an orange juice because there was no vitamin quality in it. Anyone raised in the 80s at church, vanilla wafers, orange drink? Remember now, kind of burns when it goes down because we don't really know what's in there. For all I know, she put a little bit of whiskey in there to keep us quiet. You know, I have no idea. All I knew is it burned on its way down. But yet I kept going back. But in my little Sunday school class, it's the very first verse I learned in the scripture, and it stayed with me. And it'll start our series off, Do the Work. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do your work heartily or with all of your heart, as for the Lord rather than for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Let's focus on the first part of that. Whatever you do. Notice there's a you do part to that verse. Isn't that great? And it doesn't say whatever you do in church. It says whatever you put your hand to do. So you might be a teacher, you might be a doctor, you might be a plumber or a carpenter. If you do the work with all your heart, now with all your heart is standing for the quality of it, not half-heartedly. Come on now, we as believers, we don't do it half-heartedly. We do it like God does it, which is wholeheartedly. When you put your hand to do something with all your heart, and then we have the opportunity to make that work eternal because we can do it under the Lord. Do you understand? You can raise kids under the Lord. You can be a teacher and teach math or science under the Lord. You can be a doctor as under the Lord. You can be a carpenter as unto the Lord. So whatever we're doing, we draw a link between the natural and we make it eternal because we're doing it as under the Lord. And God can use that as an opportunity to bring people to Him, to solve problems in the world. You know, building a house for someone is solving a problem. You understand that? Teaching a child is solving a problem. Do you understand that? You see, becoming a part of the government of a city is solving a problem. And we're doing it not unto ourselves, not just to make a buck, but we're doing it to advance the kingdom of God. The work we do matters. Amen. And the work we don't do then matters. And so today I want to talk to us about doing the work and kind of get us comfortable with that idea as the body of Christ, as we love to work when it's a work is unto the Lord. When we make it under the Lord. Even the most meaningless task, you might think it's meaningless. Maybe right now you're in a job and you feel like you're on the bottom of the ladder. But you know what? If you do that work with quality as unto the Lord, God will make that an eternal purpose. He will make something out of that, whether it creates opportunity for you to meet someone who needs Jesus, or whether somehow you being gifted in that area brings you before great leaders and great men, whether it just trains you personally in character and discipline so that you're ready for the next level. Never despise small beginnings. Do it with all your heart as unto the Lord. Amen. But there's still work to be done. There's some people that aren't willing to do the work until it's in the big stage in front of everybody. But if you do it when no one's looking, then God can trust you when everyone's looking. Amen. Come on now. Come on now. Acts chapter 1. Even in the book of Acts chapter 1, I love it's called the book of Acts. Come on now. That's a book of action. Not just theology, right? But works, the works of the apostles. Some people call it the book of the Acts of the Apostles. In reality, we can classify it the books of the Acts of the believers of which you are a part of. And that book is still being written. I believe when we get to heaven, that's going to be a very long book. 2,000 years of the Acts of the body of Christ. Amen. The Acts of the Holy Spirit through people because He partners with people. But in the very beginning, Luke, the author of the book of Acts, kind of establishes, I believe, a great model for all of us to follow. And he writes it like this. Now, this is the guy who wrote the book of Luke, but he also wrote the book of Acts. And he opens it with an introduction to a friend. The book of Acts is written to somebody. He says, in my former book, O Theophilus. It's not a very common name today, unfortunately, but Theophilus was the recipient of the book. I wrote about all that Jesus, listen to this, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. To do, underline that in your Bible, and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. I love that formula. I love that example. Jesus was not just a talker. He was a doer. Amen. The body of Christ and what God is calling us to do. Now, when I say I sense a stirring, I sense a stirring in our church, but I sense a stirring for our region that God is getting ready to cross over into what he's promised. This region has had so many prayer meetings. This region has had so many prophecies over it. For far too long, it's been known as a depressed area, economically, socially, in our schools, our teenagers, with social division and things like that. God is getting ready to do something, but let me tell you once again, it goes back to what I said in the beginning. When God begins to move, he's going to move through human beings. If we don't do the work on our part, then the will of God will be stopped. Are you understanding that? And so God is about to fix some things and solve some things through us, through his church. But we have to not only know, but do that which we know. In a lot of ways, I believe that the church in this generation knows far more than it actually does. And too many times we come to church waiting for another revelation or another solution or another insight. But you already know, and this is where I feel that shift in my spirit that I'm bringing to us. Listen to me, Life Church. I know the teachings that you have been exposed to. I know that you already have the answers for our city, for the families of our community, for our region. You already have the tools, the weapons, the revelation. You have enough inside of you to change a city. That's how strong and how dynamic you are as a people. You already know how to transform a human life. You know how to do it. You know how to free people from demons. You know how to get their bodies healed. You know how to bring them to a genuine identity. Maybe their mom and their dad didn't give them an identity, but you know enough about identity in Jesus to help that orphan become a son or a daughter. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You are exceptional, Life Church. We know enough to transform a city. The real variable is, will we do the work and do what we know? Jesus in this passage was so powerful. It says that Jesus began to do and teach. He didn't just teach, he did what he taught. Come on. He demonstrated what was inside of him. It wasn't just a theology. Too many times Christians, we think we know everything. Well, the problem is if we do know everything, we're not doing enough with what we know, because that which we know should transform a city, should transform a marriage, should transform a family, should transform a life. Oh, look at you who knows so much. What are you doing with what you know? And I love it that it says he began to do and teach until the day he went to heaven. There are too many people who know a lot, and they even did some stuff back in the day. What a dangerous phrase, back in the day. Well, you know what? We don't live there anymore, do we? What have you done lately? If you still have breath in your lungs, there's purpose in your life. You understand? You are connected to God. You are connected to the eternal. Stop talking about how old you are and start talking about how much you're capable of. Not what you're not capable of, but what you are capable of. You see what I'm saying? Too many times we focus on what we don't have or what we don't know rather than laying hold of what we do have and what we do know, and we do something with it. Amen. Jesus began to do and teach until the day he went to heaven. You are still alive. I'm calling some of you back into the battle. I'm calling some of you back into the fight. You see what I'm saying? Back and stop passing it off to the next generation. The church for too long has said, oh, revival's in the hands of the youth. Who said that? Wasn't God? Come on now. That's us passing the buck so we can go drive our RV, sit by a lake, and let the world go to hell. No. Nothing wrong with RVs. But don't you try to escape before you're done. You go with God. And you know enough to change everybody's life if you'll just let it out. And you'll do the you part. You'll do the you part. Amen? So God's given me a responsibility in this, like Moses to the people of Israel. Listen again to the balance. God is so balanced. God was never looking for a church that was just full of knowledge. He was wanting to give you knowledge that would transform into action. did the same thing with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. They thought, woohoo, we're out of Egypt, time to go feast in the promised land. And God began to speak to Moses in Exodus chapter 18, verse 20, the same way I'm sharing with you. He's given me this responsibility. He says, and thou shalt teach them the ordinances and the laws, and shall show them the way in which they must walk, and the work that they must do. That's my job. My job is not just to teach you about righteousness or about holiness or about the goodness of God, the ordinances, the theology, but also to teach us the work we must do. There is a work we must do. And so I'm not here just to teach you theology. I'm here to get you working. You know, Ephesians 4:11 talks about the raising of the saints for the work of ministering. That's what God is shifting us in the next 15 years. For the last 15 years, we've learned some stuff. We've learned some stuff through trial and error. We've learned some stuff through revelation. And God is telling us, telling you, it's time for this community to increase and be elevated because of what you know. Amen. Because now we, the body of Christ, are getting in action and getting involved. DTW, doing the work of our part. Now, today there's one word. If I could capture everything into one word for today and give you one focus in the DTW, we'll do this whole series, but in the DTW, what's the one word? I have one word for you today. And you say, Pastor Kevin, you've already shared a lot of words. What's the one word? I can boil it into one word. Ready? Here it is. The word for today, the first step in doing the work is this. The word is decide, to make a decision. That's the first action towards seeing anything created or accomplished. The word today, the word of the day, decide. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have personal goals for your life? Would you raise your hand, please? Good. How many of you have personal dreams for your life? Anybody? Raise your hand. How many of you have dreams for your family? Raise your hand. How many have dreams for your business or your career? Anybody? Goals, dreams for your business, career? Great. Awesome. First step is decide. Listen to this sentence, but before I say it, there's something I didn't say that I want to say in every service because we're going into a new season. I would like to make sure that all of you begin taking notes in church, please. I have been watching you. I don't know who takes notes, who doesn't, but here's what I heard in my spirit. What God is going to begin pouring out is treasure and knowledge enough worth writing down and remembering. Does that make sense? When you value something enough to write it down, do you understand that positions you in a different place? A different position of hearing, a different position of expecting, and even what you're going to do with it. It's like you're telling your body, I'm going to listen to something valuable and I want to remember it. And in doing so, you've just had an act of faith that will propel you to a whole nother place. And so we're in this next season, if you've never been a habit of a student of taking notes in church, please, you will come in a different position and you'll leave differently if you value the word enough to write it down. Here's a sentence that you can begin with. The path to create those dreams, those goals in your heart, the path to create them emerges when you make a decision. When you make a decision. That's how God wired us up. That's how God's created us. The moment we decide a thing, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to our spirit of how to bring that thing to pass. He begins to give you creativity, ideas. The mind of God begins to work. When you decide to finally do it, when you decide to finally create it, that goal, rather than letting it being a wishful thing or a hopeful thing, like, I hope this happens, when you say to yourself, it's time to make it happen, and it will happen, God will begin to give you the path and the plan to make it happen. The real problem is too many of us are hoping and wishing and wanting, but we haven't decided it's time to create it. We haven't put that energy into that. Do you see what I'm saying? Let me give you some examples. There's people who think about, who hope, who desire to get out of financial debt. But the moment you make a decision that we will, over the next 2 years, get out of financial debt, guess what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit will begin to talk to you about how to make it happen. Does that make sense? Because you made a decision, we're going to be out of debt in 2 years, all of a sudden the path begins to come to your spirit and emerge. That's how God wired us up. That once you decide a thing, he begins to tell you how to make that happen. Another thing, let's say you decide to have a quality marriage, that you're done with having an average marriage. Now, I understand it takes two people to come into agreement to decide that thing, but I know this. even if you don't know how to make the marriage better, if the two of you will decide that we're sick of living on a lower level, and from this day forward, we decide we're going to have a better marriage, you know what's going to happen? The path will emerge on how to make that marriage better. God will begin to bring you books. God will begin to bring you retreats. God will begin to bring you friends. God will begin to help you realize, I got to ask forgiveness about that. The moment you decide, see, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, but the moment you make a decision, you're now on firm ground. How many times in the Bible does God say, choose you this day whom you will serve? Why? Because once you decide a thing, he can begin to show you how to live successfully. But why would he cast his pearls before the swine? If you haven't made a decision, why would he give you the plan? Do you see what I'm saying? Why would he give you his revelation, his wisdom on a thing if you haven't even decided to commit? The same thing happens in personal health. I'm just giving you illustrations. People hope to get healthy. They talk about getting healthy. They think about getting healthy. How about making a decision to get healthy? How about saying, by this time next year, I'm going to change my health? The moment you do that, the path begins to emerge on what changes need to be made. Oh, I need to start drinking water. Yes, it exists, and it's good for you. I'll start taking the stairs. Why? Because I made a decision that I'm going to start taking the stairs and getting healthy. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Multiple pathways to health. I'm not telling you which one to take. I'm just saying make a decision. Stop hoping and a thinking and a dreaming and decide I'm going to be a healthy person. Decide I'm going to get out of debt. Decide our marriage is going to get better. Amen. There are people who are hoping and thinking and wishing that they could lead someone to Jesus. You know what? You make a decision to say I'm going to lead someone to Jesus every week. And you know what's going to happen? God will begin to open doors. He's going to begin to give you opportunity and strategy. Same thing with that chair next to you. The moment you make a decision, that chair next to me is going to be filled with someone that I bring. It will be filled with someone you bring. It's a decision. The DTW, the first thing God's asking us to do is learn how to make a quality decision. Once you decide, the Holy Spirit begins to create the pathways on the inside of you. It doesn't happen the other way. Too many times we want to see the plan before we decide. You want to see the path before you decide. And God's telling you, you decide. There's multiple paths to get you to the top of the mountain. But it's the decision that needs to happen. Then I'll begin to talk to you about the path. What are we talking to God like? God, you show me the plan, then I'll decide. It's almost like, are you going to persuade me or convince me whether or not it's worthy of being done? God is just saying, would you please make up your mind? God doesn't like lukewarm. God doesn't like hot or cold. He wants a decision. The moment you decide to give your life to Jesus, guess what? There's a path to get saved. There's a path to come into the kingdom of God. Let me show you how this works. Go back to the Tower of Babel in the book of Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 through 6. It's a great illustration of what I'm talking about. Now, in that illustration, maybe you're new to the Bible, you don't know this story, but there was a time in the world's history where everyone spoke the same language and many human beings gathered in the land of Shinar. And they followed a leader named Nimrod. Can you believe it? Who follows a person named Nimrod? If your name is Nimrod, I'm sorry. I'm going to call you Bob. And they decided to build this city to their own glory. They decided to build a tower to the heavens to prove that they were as great as God. This arrogance was inside of them. And so the Bible says God came down and scattered their language. But notice what God said about them. Now, this is some serious revelation here. I want you to catch what's happening. Genesis chapter 11, this is what the Lord said. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language, and this is what they began to do. And now, nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Do you see that? This is God speaking. You want to know why God knew that about them? God made them. This is the manufacturer saying, I know what I put in these human beings. And whatever they purpose to do, what's another word for purpose to do? Decide. Whatever they decide to do, it won't be impossible for them. Do you understand? God is speaking to us about how he made us. This wasn't special about the people in Shinar. This was God saying, I know what I put in human beings. And when they get decided and they purpose to do something, the answers, the solutions, the pathways, they will create what they've decided to create. Now, in this instance, they chose to create something negative. They chose to create something prideful and wicked. But do you understand that same principle of work? What if we decided to create a city that had glory to God, lived gloriously to God? What if we decided to change our school systems? And we focused our ability to hear God on how to change our school systems, and God would give us pathways to change our school systems, or economies, or your business, or whatever, or our marriage. You get before God, say, God, it's time to change our marriage. We've decided to have a better marriage. Get before God. He's going to give you lists of things you can do. God will show you there is a way. Never think there isn't a way. There's always a way when God is speaking to you about it. And you might think, is it prideful just to decide a thing? Listen to me. You are made in the image of God. You're filled with the Spirit of God. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. If it's emerging in your heart to get it done and to do it, I believe you are righteous before God. Those are godly desires. You're not looking to build something unto yourself. There's a reason that dream is there. There's a reason those goals are there. And like I said, it's part of the greater image of God's dream. It's a dream within a dream. So stop thinking it's pride and get to work. Yes, amen. Did I say too much for you to understand what I just said? People are waiting. Well, I don't want to build it if it's for my kingdom. Do you love God or not? Amen. Do you want to build your own kingdom? No, I don't. Well, then that which is in your heart is not about building your own kingdom. Amen. Now trust that and go for it, man. What else do you want from God? Yeah. Well, I'd like some angels to sing to me. Oh, stop. Just get to work. Yeah. DTW. Amen. Nothing that they decide to do will be impossible for them. The problem is, we don't decide to actually do it. We hope things change. We wish things change. We desire things to change, rather than we've decided it's time to change them. Decided, decided, decided. Creativity begins once you've committed. Once you've decided, the path emerges. Creativity begins. Here's some decisions that I've come to recently about us as a church. And they're rooted in some beliefs that I have, because my decision is connected to some strong beliefs. Here's my beliefs, and this is the decision that I've made. Belief number one. I believe that the people who connect to Life Church wholeheartedly will become kings and leaders on the earth. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that people who connect to Life Church wholeheartedly become kings and leaders. They are no longer slaves to sin, but they become sons and daughters of the Almighty God, and they learn how to rule and reign in this life. They learn how to come out from underneath the devil's foot and put their own foot on the devil's neck and teach another generation how to do it. I believe people that come to Life Church are transformed by the Word, the Spirit of God, and the relationships you have with your teachers, your mentors, your small group leaders, and one another. I believe this church changes lives, that bondages are broken, every sickness, every disease, every demonic attack can be destroyed. If people would connect wholeheartedly and get involved in our classes and our discipleship and our mentorship stuff, and our small groups serving in the community here, getting to be a part of the body, you will not stay the same. You couldn't, because that rising tide raises all the ships. You understand what I'm saying? God is moving this house forward. I believe that every fiber of my being. Now, there's people that are double-minded. They kind of come, they kind of go, they don't plug in. I can't attest to the results on that because you're not using the product correctly. But I can say, if you'll join in wholeheartedly, this church will change your life. It will change your walk with God. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your finances. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your prosperity and business. I believe that with all of my heart. So I have a second belief that's connected to that belief, and it's this. I believe that everyone in this region needs to be a part of Life Church. You say, what about all the other churches? Let them say it. I believe that everyone in Rockford, Janesville, Beloit, South Beloit, McChesney Park, Loves Park, and surrounding areas need to be a part of Life Church. Why? Because you will turn into a king and a leader and a son and daughter of God, knowing what to do and how to do it, and their lives will be transformed. It's not for our glory or just to say we have a big church. No, it's because I know what happens here. Do you see that? And so I believe those things. So therefore, I've decided something. Because I believe this church can change anybody's life, and by the way, if you're a guest today, you've come to the best place. Amen. Because I believe this house can change your life, and because I believe everyone in this area should have the opportunity to come here and have their life changed, I've decided something. I've decided that it's our responsibility to go and make people aware of Life Church. It's not their responsibility to find out about us. It's our responsibility to let them know. That's our work part. See, I think all of us want our church to be filled and, you know, with hurting people. You know what I found out recently? That when I go out into the community, there's like people there. Yeah, it's awesome. Like in Target and Starbucks, and I mean, there's messed up people everywhere. So there's no shortage of people. But they just don't know what we're able to do for them. You know, we overthink that everybody knows Life Church exists. They don't. I was getting my hair cut over at Schnucks a few months back, not in the grocery store, that's weird, but there's like a haircut place next to it. And this guy was cutting my hair, and he asked me what I did for a living, and I said, I'm a pastor of a church. He said, where's your church? I said, it's in Roscoe. He goes, oh yeah, Roscoe, I drive in Roscoe all the time. He goes, where is it? I said, it's called Life Church. He goes, I've never heard of it. And I said, it's Life Church, man, it's the big bubble. How do you miss it? He goes, I don't know, I've never seen it. I said, it's right across the street from Poison Ivy Bar. Oh, Poison Ivy Bar. Yeah, I know where that is. We're right across the street, man. You know, one of our board members, he's a current board member, when he first started coming, they loved the services. They thought they were tremendous. And they still do, thank the Lord. But one of the first few times I met them in the lobby, he and his wife said to me, they said, Life Church is awesome. I'm like, thank you. They said, it's the best kept secret in the area. And he was saying it as a compliment, but then I started thinking about it afterwards, and I was like, that's my fault. You see what I'm saying? That's our fault. Like, not enough people know we exist. Do you see what I'm saying? This best kept secret, this gem, this treasure hidden in a field, it's our responsibility to let people know we're here and we're here to help. It's not God's responsibility to magically put the people in the chairs. You see this? But because I know people's lives will be changed, because I know that if they get here and plug in, they'll be transformed, then it's my responsibility to DTW, to let them know we can help them and to have that kind of confidence and boldness about it. Ma'am, you might think that's arrogance, but the truth is I know some stuff about you. I know some stuff. I know that you are a great people. I know what the fabric and the DNA that you're full of. You understand? This church is so full of integrity and kindness. There's so much goodness in this church. Are we perfect people? No, we're not perfect people. But I know that we're people willing to walk with imperfect people. And I know we're people that want to serve God. And even when we get it wrong, we're open to correction. Are you seeing what I'm saying? This is a good group of people. You're people that are generous. I've watched you sit by people's bedside while they're passing away. I've watched you show up and mow people's yards because they were in the hospital. I've watched you sit through class after class so that you could learn the word, so that you could be there for someone who needs to know, or so that you could improve as a believer rather than sitting like a spectator. So many churches are filled with people who don't want to learn the Bible. They just want to go to church so they don't go to hell. But that's not you. You are hungry for God. You love Jesus. You see what I'm saying? I know the core and the DNA of this house. I trust you. God trusts you. You see what I'm saying? Man. But the world doesn't know that about us. They might think we're like every other church or every other people, or maybe not really relevant. Oh man, we're so relevant. I wrote a book called Relevant Acts, people. We're so relevant. But they don't know what they don't know. And we wait for them to figure it out rather than us showing up in their lives and doing the work to say, we can help you. You have a problem, I know where to bring you. I have a group of people to connect you to. But I have to do the work of opening my mouth. I have to do the work of inviting them. I have to do the work of driving and picking them up if necessary. I have to do the work of letting them reject me 10 times, but on the 11th time, they're going to say yes. I have to do the work of not being afraid. You see what I'm saying? But I got to do the work. God's already given us the promise, but we have to do the work. Life Church is the best kept secret in the area. Not anymore. Not anymore. I guess there was this false humility that used to be in me where I used to just think, like, when God was ready, he would just shine a light on this church. He'd put a spotlight on us, and all the hurting people would just, like, come. You know how many people, we kind of feel that way, though, if we're really honest. Like, God's just going to put a spotlight on me when it's my time to serve him. What's that going to look like? Like the bat signal coming above our church, and all the sinners go, oh, I guess it's time to go to that church. There's a spotlight from heaven on top of that church. Too many times in our lives, we're waiting for a spotlight to be placed on us before we start doing the dream or the call or the vision, the purpose. God, nowhere in Scripture does it say, wait for a spotlight to be put on you. You know what it says? It says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that's in heaven. God's not waiting for you to have a spotlight put on you. He put the light inside of you. You go light it up. You say, is that pride, Pastor Kevin? No, it's confidence in God. It's time for you to know what you're capable of doing. I've kept my mouth shut far too long and let other people take the lead. I know God has called us to take the lead on some things, church. It's time for us to take the lead on some things. It was humility, whatever it is. Oh, when it's our time, they'll ask us to get involved. God is saying, stop it and just get involved. Start taking the lead, Life Church. I know we can help them. We need to start showing up in people's lives saying, I know what we are capable of doing. We're going to be able to help you fix this. We're going to be able to help you solve this. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like Jesus when he stood up in his very first sermon in Luke chapter 4, and he said to the whole house, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me to preach the gospel to you. He's anointed me to set the captive free. He's anointed me to bind up the brokenhearted, oh, and to heal the blind. Jesus was telling them what he was capable of doing. He wasn't waiting for them to figure it out. He was letting them know, I am here to help. I can solve your problem. It's our time, Life Church, to believe that, know that about us, and let other people know. Remember, you can decide a thing. If you decide to fill that chair next week, you will find a way to fill that chair next week. It's a decision thing. It's nothing to do with hoping and a wishing. It's a decision. If you want to fill Rockford, you fill it then. Make a decision to fill it. If you want to fill Spanish Church, then fill it. Start figuring out ways. Make a decision. Stop hoping and a thinking and a dreaming and let God give you the plan and don't accept anything less. And you keep fighting and praying and doing that which God tells you to do. Now, the first plan, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But you know what? You made a decision to keep doing it. So then you find another plan. And then you look for another plan. Because you will not be denied the promise that God has given you. Why? Because you made a decision. If you're double-minded, the first time you find opposition, you run away. But if you make a decision, whether it worked or didn't, you're standing there until it works.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Let your light shine. In creation, the work starts with a decision. Moving from I want something or I hope for something to I have decided something. Again, look at it in the area of your finances. I've decided to get out of debt. That's the beginning. You'll begin to know what to say yes to and what to say no to because you decided. You've decided for your marriage. You've decided for your health. You've decided for your spiritual growth. You decide, and all of a sudden, creation begins. Genesis chapter 1 is a great picture of that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Are you familiar with that one? Genesis 1:1, anybody? Raise your hand if you know Genesis 1:1. Okay. In the what? God did what? The heavens and the what? Good. What's the very first thing God did? No, he didn't create first. The first thing God did was he decided to create. Did you hear what I just said? Sometimes we think the first thing God did was he created the heavens and the earth. That's not the first thing he did. The first thing God did was he decided to create the heavens and the earth. And then he created that which he decided. That's the pattern. Decide and create what you decide. Decide, create what you decide. That's how God did it. He did it again when he decided to create man. Remember that conversation? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit get together. They said what? Let us make man in our image. That sounds like a decision to me, doesn't it? It's time to make man even the type of person, the type of man, in our own image, quality of man. We made a decision. And know what he did next? He made man. God decided to make man, he made man. God decided to make the world, he made the world. Oh, by the way, God decided to forgive us and save us of our sins, and so he created a plan to do it in bringing Jesus to the earth to die on the cross for our sins. Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Did you see what I just said? God decided to create the path to forgive us of our sins, but he had to decide to want to forgive us and create that path, and then the path emerged. He created the path. Every single time, God decides to do something, and then he creates that's what he decides. He decides to do it, and he creates that which he decides. And that's how we work as well. Decide, and that's the beginning of creation, to decide. Pastor Brock, you can come as I'm landing the plane here. One last thought, and then we're going to pray. The Lord brought me to the Declaration of Independence in this message. It's the same model, very similar picture. The idea of making a decision and creating. You're familiar with the Declaration of Independence and with the opening line. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." That sounds very similar to what I was saying about what I believe. That Life Church will transform your life. They say, "We believe that people were made equal. We believe that they were given certain rights by God, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I believe that everyone who attends and plugs into this church wholeheartedly's life will be transformed. I believe that people need to find out about us and have that opportunity to come here." And so they talk about what they believe needs to happen. And at the end of the Declaration of Independence, they make a decision. This is the last line, and this is the decision. "These united colonies are and of right ought to be free." That's a decision. Next decision, "and independent states." What does that mean? What does that phrase say to us? Or say, what did it say to that generation? It says that we need to be free and we need to be self-governing. It's time to break from Britain. See, they came to a conclusion. See, they could have sat there and complained about taxation without representation forever. They could have sat there and complained about not having a representation in London. They could complain about, oh, the king this and Britain this, and they could wish they were free, and they could hope they were free, and maybe one day it would get better. But on that piece of paper, on that Declaration of Independence, they said it's time that we become independent states. It's time that we separate from Britain. And you know what? The path then was clear. The path was going to be a war. The path became clear. We can't play games with Britain anymore. We can't tolerate it anymore. Something in them got to a place that they were fed up, and they had to come to a decision. Either we're going to be with Britain or we're going to be free. And they chose freedom, and they chose to create independence. Making a decision starts the process of creating the dream, the goal, whatever. Making a decision. Now that you've made a decision, though, you're willing to pay the price. Because there's work. Their work was war. Their work was revolution. But it was worth it. They made a decision, and there's no going back. They set their faces flint. They burned the bridges behind them. They drew a line in the sand. Whatever expression might work for you. Have you made a decision yet that it's time for that dream to come to pass? It's time for that goal to start manifesting? And then I'm inviting you to join what I believe is God speaking to our church. I think it's time that we need to decide this city needs us and that we go do something about that. I think it's time that we stop waiting for the city to find out about us and just show up one Sunday afternoon or morning. And we fill these seats ourselves because we've decided to fill them. Amen. Go ahead and stand up and let's pray together. I have one last statement that you might want to write down. I believe it's worth the whole day personally. And it's simply this. People who haven't decided create excuses. Those who have decided create solutions. You know, when people haven't decided to get out of debt, they have every reason in the world why they can't get out of debt. But the moment they decide, they begin to find ways of getting out of debt. People who haven't decided to create the marriage of their dreams or whatever, they have all these reasons of why they can't. But the moment they decide, we're going to have a better marriage, they begin finding ways of having a better marriage. Same thing with health. People who are just toying with the idea of health, they're putting it off and putting it off. They always have a reason why they can't get healthy. But the moment they decide, all of a sudden they begin to get healthy. It's just amazing. It's amazing how it works every time. Even churches. We can have excuses of why the community doesn't want to come. This generation doesn't want to go to church anymore. That's a lie. They want God, and they want community, and they want to know people. They want to be loved. They want to have some sort of relationships with people. They may not want what they've seen, but they do want what God's community and God's kingdom has to offer. But you know, churches make excuses. Nobody wants to come to our church. Nobody wants to whatever, whatever, whatever. Because they haven't made a decision. And I'm saying that God is putting it on us. It's time to make a decision to lead our city. It's time to make a decision to help people. It's time to make a decision to let them know that we can help. So let's pray. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus. Lord, right now I just take this word over the house and I just pray it into our spirit. Each of their dreams, each of their goals, each of those things, it's all connected to what you're doing in this generation. And Lord, I ask today that you help us to decide to create, to decide to do it, to decide a thing. And Lord, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you're faithful to begin to talk to us. Plan after plan, strategy after strategy, I'm to create those things that you put in our hearts. We look for that. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.